Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to another biweekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you from a drizzly night in the hub at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and the temperature at airtime is 70 degrees, and I want to report I was at a rally today when it was a beautiful day. I was at the Boston Common for a rally for the what is called the Black Ribbon Freedom Day. I guess it's just called Black Ribbon Day. So I'm going to read you what the flyer said, that I never knew there was a Black Ribbon Day. But every August 23rd, it's a remembrance of that day. It's Black Ribbon Day is an international day of remembrance for victims of totalitarian regimes, specifically Stalinism, communism, Nazism, and fascism. It is observed on August 23rd and symbolizes the rejection of extremism, intolerance, and oppression. So I got a email on that, and I decided to go, and I'm glad I went. It was at 1 o'clock. I'm sorry, at noontime, 12 o'clock, and there was about 100 people there. It was a small crowd, but very much enthused about their rally and the importance of remembering what has been going on in the past. What is that saying, that if you don't remember the past, the mistakes of the past, you're doomed to repeat them? So let me just read a little from the flyer on the rally. It says, "We are gathering on this day in commemoration of the millions of victims of such regimes, totalitarian regimes, always start the same way: free speech violations, media censorship, destruction of historical monuments, and in a massive loss of human life. No totalitarian regime declares these goals at its outset. In fact, many of the early advocates often enter the movement with noble goals, lured by seductive slogans and claims of liberation. However, any movement that consolidates power within a chosen few will inevitably create conditions that lead to the expropriation of private property, the banning of basic human rights, and the ultimate elimination of its opponents. As refugees of communist countries, we know firsthand the dangers of authoritarianism. We've seen how easily people can grow comfortable with surrendering their most basic rights. On this day, we want to warn our fellow Americans of the dangers of communism. So it was held in the Boston Common, which is a place where many rallies have been held over the years and decades and centuries maybe. And I went to it, and the speakers were good. They were all very knowledgeable in the dangers of the places they're familiar with. There was people from Russia, speakers from Venezuela and Cuba, and they were very good, and they wish more Americans could be aware of these things and not fall into the trap, the seductive trap of the good sounding and noble ideas without checking out the details or testing them on a limited basis, and be wary of the ulterior motives. Be careful what you wish for. You just may get it. And we have seen what Dr. Lively calls the rise of Marxism in America, with all of these cities that are under attack, so-called peaceful protests, when in effect anyone with common sense can see that they are violent, breaking into properties and stealing goods. And we need to protest that and not let it advance through the whole country and stop it at its roots. Right now in Seattle and Portland in particular, maybe Chicago, San Francisco, I don't see as much evidence of it here in my city, but we certainly have problems here. We have fallen away from our traditional values, especially moral values, and we need to restore them. And one of the women that was speaking from Russia, she's got my vote just by her speech there today. She's running for state representative, and I'll be contacting her with a donation probably tomorrow or definitely this week. Well, before I give you the latest on the coronavirus pandemic, I want to let you know that the couple of storms, we've had two conventions in the news, and now today and yesterday, two storms approaching the Gulf Coast. Of course, the two conventions, the Democratic National Convention has ended. I believe it was Thursday was the final day, where Joe Biden was candidate that they are running for president, and Kamala Harris is the vice president on that ticket. And tomorrow, scheduled to start in Milwaukee, but it was basically all virtual convention. I didn't pay much attention to it because I've done my homework, and I know that I can't support that ticket. Meanwhile, the Republican National Convention has picked North Carolina as its site. Again, most of it will be virtual, and President Trump will be accepting the nomination later this week, along with his vice president pick of Mike Pence. So that will be a choice that Americans have to make on November 3rd, I believe, is the election day, general election. September 1st, by the way, is primary day in Massachusetts, and we have some races here for the U.S. Senate. Democratic Senator Markey will be facing off with Representative in Congress Kennedy. And again, I will be voting for the Republican, who is very much the underdog. Dr. Shriver is the Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate, which has one seat up for election, with the other one being held by Elizabeth Warren, who was one of the speakers at the Democratic National Convention on on the virtual method. So pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. We need to do our due diligence. And remember what Benjamin Franklin told the woman when she asked him, what have we got here after they finish the Constitutional Convention? A monarchy or a republic? And Dr. Franklin came out with the famous words, a republic if you can keep it. And from what I can see, we're not doing a good job on that, so we have to snap out of it, wake up, and make sure we don't slide into this totalitarian Marxism, radical socialist, whatever you want to call it, whatever name you want to give, but it means less freedom and less of our American values that we have received, our unalienable rights of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness that the Founding Fathers built into our Constitution. All right, let me give you the latest on the pandemic. I give you that every 2 weeks, and it seems like it's still going up about the same amount of as the past. The global figures, the total infected is 25,545,428. Active cases of 6,694,732. The number of deaths globally at my recording, and I'm sure they've already gone up, but it's, when I put the notes in here, it's 811,434. That's global death. And the recovered is a huge amount, 16,039,262. And then in the U.S., which I also give every 2 weeks, is the following, the total infected, 869,507. At the end of the last program, it was 5,192,022. So that seems to have tapered off somewhat. The active, 2,538,464. The number of deaths in the U.S. is 180,595. The last program was 165,541. So that's about a 15,000 increase, and that's about what it was from the previous 2 weeks. So it's certainly has not disappeared, and we do have these 2/3 of the summer over with now. And it looks like this is going to drag on, and they're talking about vaccines and testing and social distancing. I'm sure you're all tired of all of that, but we need to use our common sense and don't get over-stressed by it. Remember, you have your Creator that you should be relying on, and the motto of our country is, in God we trust. Not the World Health Organization, not the Center for Disease Control, not the political structure in either party, but in God. And be sure to pray for your family and for our country and for everyone that this pandemic will cease. The number recovered in the U.S. is again a big figure, 3,164,488. That's about 60% of those that were infected. So most of people, it would be like getting a cold and or maybe the flu, and it's not lethal, but those that have weak systems and that are more susceptible to viruses, those are the ones that are being reported as among the fatalities. Okay, let's see, what else do I have? First of all, I want to give you the call-in number. Let's see if anyone is in the chat room. Of course, it's a late hour here, and we'll be heading to work tomorrow, so I don't get many call-ins. But let's see, maybe there's somebody in there now. Nope. We have a call-in number of 914-803-6485. 914-803-6485. And if you do call in, give me your first name and what city and state you're calling from. And if you're outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. No one's in the chat room now. Let's see the some news on the troubles in the cities and the issue of defunding the police. I see that New York has now has two police unions endorsing Trump in wake of the efforts to defund the police in certain other cities and maybe many other issues going on in New York, as it was one of the hardest hit cities in the country, and the police are not too happy with things, and the unions have endorsed Trump, as they believe he is the candidate that will be in their best interest. Everybody is interested in how the candidates affect their lives. We're not so altruistic as we can be, more objective about things. We tend to be subjective, and the Democrats play on a lot of the population that wants what we call free stuff. And one of the signs that I held at the rally today was, socialism works until you run out of other people's money. That was, of course, a slogan used by Margaret Thatcher, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain. So what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Call in with your thoughts and let me know what you think is going to happen for the rest of this month and as we go into Labor Day and the primary seasons. September 1st, as I said, is the primary in Massachusetts. I don't know how the other states work. But what do you think? I think that we need to wake up. We need to understand what these people that were commemorating Black Ribbon Day that know about what happened when communism and Marxism and totalitarianism, authoritarianism, takes over a country. And of course, we know that the communists have a plan to actually take over the country. I've spoke about it before, the clip about the KGB agents talking about the four steps to take over a country, and they are I can't think of them now. I say them so much. Maybe I'll think of it later, but the last two are crisis and normalization. Oh, okay, demoralization is the first one. They demoralize the country. I mean, you can see that happening in the schools. They're not teaching the Constitution. They're not sticking by their Judeo-Christian values. They're practicing practices that are not in line with biblical views. Dr. Lively speaks of it all the time. We abandon these principles at our detriment. Somebody says, well, you can't eat principles. And then I say, well, try living without them. So the Soviets demoralize the country, the media. They take over. They get people worked into the media, into the entertainment industry. They demoralize you with horrible stuff going on in the movies, and everybody's now at home with Netflix and watching probably movies that are not worth watching. And most of them I don't even bother with. So we need to be careful what we pollute our minds with. And then destabilize the country, have something like the coronavirus or the banking crisis, or we may have a financial crisis ahead of us before the election, or a lot of us are concerned about the debt that the country has gotten itself into. and the activities of the Federal Reserve with the printing of money and the artificially low interest rates. All these things contribute to a country that's being destabilized. And then, of course, you have a crisis, whether that's the coronavirus. Peter Schiff talks about the coronavirus as the pin that busts the bubble. The bubble is there, and it would have busted anyway, but at some point, but the coronavirus may have been the pin that did it. And then there may be another crisis. We certainly are concerned about the dollar and how it's sinking, and I'll give you some figures on the financial front shortly, but we see gold going up and the dollar going down. That tells you something, and you need to research that and listen to Peter Schiff. He's an excellent economist, SchiffRadio.com. Not Adam Schiff, but this is Peter Schiff, S-C-H-I-F-F, radio.com. All right, so right now I want to take a break from this and give you one of my favorite subjects is the school system, and that's another thing that the communists and the totalitarian people, Marxists, focus on is to propagandize our youth, demoralize the youth. And there are many of us fighting against that. And one of the ways to do it, as I've talked about many times, is to remove your children from the public schools. This is not good for them. And we need to do that ASAP. It's not always that easy to do, but if you find a way where there's a will, there is a way. So Dr. Chaps, who I've listened to quite a bit also, he has a guest on who is helping Americans with homeschooling. Her name is Sam Sorbo, and I'm going to play his clip right now. I think you'll enjoy it, and I'll give you more information after the clip. Here we go.
What if you had homeschooling lessons provided for you online every day, a new school, no matter what the grade? Today we interview Sam Sorbo with the Texas Homeschooling Network.
Former Navy Chaplain Gordon James Klingenschmitt took a stand to defend religious freedom by daring to pray publicly in Jesus' name. Now he helps you by reporting the news, discerning the spirits, and praying the scriptures. Would you pray with us? Here's Dr. Chaps.
God bless you in Jesus' name. My name is Chaplain Gordon James Klingenschmitt, Dr. Chaps, and you're watching PIJN News. On this show, we like to do three things. We report the news, we discern the spirits, and we pray the scriptures in Jesus' name. On today's show, we have a live interview with a returning guest and a fan favorite. Sam Sorbo is a homeschooling mom. But more importantly, she is now the spokesman for a national homeschooling network with step-by-step internet lessons for you to teach your children at home, especially in the context of stay-at-home orders issued by almost every governor in America. Welcome to the program, Sam Sorbo from Texas. You're in Tampa, Florida today, aren't you?
That's right. I'm in Florida, yeah.
Well, congratulations. What is your affiliation with the Texas Homeschooling Coalition?
So we partnered because we saw a drastic need in the nation. We've got an entire nation now that has been called to homeschool, even by people like Gavin Newsom, who is no friend to homeschooling, and because we're being called to stay at home and shelter in place, as they're saying. So there's a nation now of parents who are like, wait a minute, I thought that I had my child's education handled, the public schools were going to take care of it, and now it's all on me? What am I supposed to do with that? And so we just saw a tremendous need, and THSC put together this coronavirushomeschooling.com website, and it's a fantastic website. I urge you to go there right now because it starts out by saying, take a deep breath. You can do this. And we're just coming alongside parents and offering them a full soup to nuts curriculum for K through 5. We'll have the other grades, higher grades, 6 through 12, coming on momentarily. We're working day and night to get this up and running for everybody. But the idea is you can do this. It's not rocket science. It's just teaching your young people and basically inspiring them to learn. And so this is a whole curriculum, and it's downloadable, and it's free. Did I mention it's free? It's free. So.
Well, that's amazing, and it's going to transform lives of young people who are stuck at home with their parents, climbing the walls. I'm sure their parents are sitting calmly and drinking their coffee, but it's a little bit of stress for everybody to be forced into this situation. How do you deal with it?
Well, for us, it wasn't that much of a shift because I've been homeschooling for over 10 years, as you know. So it's a little bit of a hardship that we can't go out and the kids don't get to do the social things that they were doing before. But, you know, everybody's in that boat together. It's really, I'm struggling for the parents who are really challenged by this. But I see a silver lining in the cloud. And so I started immediately putting out videos just to encourage parents and empower them. That's why I wrote my book, They're Your Kids, to empower parents because I felt completely inadequate to the task. And after several years, I started to understand that the reason that I felt inadequate was because of my education, having taught me that I was incapable of doing anything that somebody that I hadn't been taught by somebody standing in a blackboard, that I hadn't gotten a gold star for by somebody else. And the truth is actually the contrary. You can do anything. In fact, there's so many, if you don't know how to change the oil on your car, Google it, YouTube it, because there are people out there who put out everything now, so you can find anything you want. You just have to have a willingness to learn.
Well, kudos to Sam Sobel, and I'm running out of time, so I have to cut that a little shorter than I wanted to. But go to that website, coronavirushomeschooling.com, and listen to the whole clip. It runs for about almost a half an hour. And so it's pull your kids out of the schools. They can't go now anyway with this coronavirus. But this is something that you need to do because of the brainwashing, the destabilization, demoralization of our children. All right, I got to give you the figures for the stock market. The Dow was closed at 27,930.33. Was up. The Nasdaq up again, 11,311.80. The S&P up 3,397.16. These are like records, and they're going up even though a lot of negative things happening in the economy, but we'll see where that goes. We're concerned about the overvaluation of these indexes and the elements in them. Gold closed, it has been on a tear, but it had somewhat of a down week. This week, gold closed at 1942.40. It had been up above 2,000 an ounce, and that's down for the week. And silver is down also, 26.82. The big news is that Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, has purchased Barrick Gold. He's always been somewhat negative on gold itself, but he has bought over $500 million worth of Barrick Gold, one of the big gold mining corporations. So that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming to the end. The next show will be on Blog Talk Radio on September the 6th, 2020. Let me give you the approval and disapproval on the president. He's done a little better. His approval is 43.7, disapproval at 54.2. So God bless you all. I'll see you in 2 weeks, September the 6th, after Labor Day. Take care of yourself and your family and pray. And God bless you. And God bless America. Good night, everyone. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show with the non-live portion of the show. There's no call-ins now. This is 15 minutes of yours truly talking about what he wants to talk about, basically. And thankfully, I don't have a sponsor or a boss that I have to be kowtowing to. I have the freedom to cover what I want and express my views in keeping with the First Amendment of our great Constitution. So if you missed calling in and you want to, you can play this on the archive version by going to blogtalkradio.com and typing in money and other things, financial, and you'll find probably all the shows. They're in the archive. If you feel like listening to some of them. So, as I've done in the past, I'm going to play a clip from a favorite of mine and who has wonderful insight and wisdom. And we can talk about all the problems and complain and cry on each other's shoulders, but we need to hear from people that have sound views. I mentioned Dr. Chaps a lot, and the people he has on his show. I mentioned Peter Schiff. There's lots of people out there that have things to offer. But one of my favorites, if not the my real favorite, is Dr. Scott Lively, who was a pastor and an attorney, and the past candidate for governor, who I supported in 2018, and if only, what's that expression, if only he was elected, we would have a game changer in our state and even in the country. But instead we have Governor Charlie Baker. That's how they describe him now, Charlie, C-H-A-R, then in capital letters L-I-E, Charlie. And of course they refer to him as Governor Faker. So he's not popular with a lot of us because he still has his supporters, and he did win the election, but Scott Lively never got a chance to debate him, which is not really what I consider fair, but there's no requirement there's no legal requirement that there be a debate. So he did the best he could to make his case known to the Bay Staters, and he couldn't have done more with the little bit of support that he had from a dedicated group of followers. But he's now in Tennessee, and he's running a ministry, and he now has teamed up with another pastor, Richard May, and they have a radio show every Sunday that I listen to at 4 o'clock. And this is one of the shows I'm going to play a clip for you now. Not the whole clip, because the show runs for an hour. But this is on the subject matter is resisting the cashless society and why. And it's an episode that he has on his Breaking News Bible Study radio show broadcast out of Memphis, Tennessee with Pastor May in Knoxville, Tennessee. So let's listen to Dr. Lively on the cashless society issue, which is a big issue that we should be concerned about.
Breaking News Bible Study here from Barnyard Studios in Memphis on the border of Mississippi. Today, I wanted to talk about the cashless society and as part of a bigger discussion about the natural world versus the artificial world.
Okay.
And because when you're talking about a cashless society, that's just a tiny component. And really what they want, if by getting rid of cash, is to be able to have absolute tracking of everybody all the time. And of course, the predatory corporatists that are in league with the socialists and all this, they love that idea. Because if they can track every purchase that you make, then they know how to market to you, and then of course, and the and the people in the elite strata whose life revolves around having control of everybody else, they're going to be able to do that. And of course, what would be easier for the Antichrist when it comes time for the mark of the beast to be able to deny you the ability to buy and sell just by excluding you from the internet, right? Everybody, do you have a comment, Richard?
Well, I was just going to ask, perhaps the listeners as well as you, do you see a subtle, and I'm talking along the lines of what is the proverbial story? Is it the frog in the water where it slowly gets warmer and warmer?
Yeah, the frog in the pot.
The frog in the pot. Do you see that type of thing going on with those material items that we used to be able to buy locally and now can only get on the internet?
Yeah. Well, some of these, you know, there's a natural progression of things that happens. It's like, you know, the post office, for example. I think they're getting us ready for limitations on the mail service. This is serious business. The cashless society is only a small part of the switch from the natural world that God made to the virtual world that man made, and that is essentially owned by people who hate truth and right, and who want to control everybody else's lives. And
how many people do you think could operate by only purchasing with cash or barter on a local level right now in America?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be awfully hard to do. And of course, they make it so convenient. You know, credit cards. You know, I'm a person that I never carry any credit card balance, right? So that means I'm earning points and things like that for using my credit card, right? And so I've been doing that for 20 years, and I don't think I've ever had a balance in all that time. Just because I'm too cheap, I'm not going to give them any money unless I absolutely have to. But every time you make a purchase that way, you're furthering the virtual world, and you're also enriching the worst of the bad guys, right?
Yep.
My credit cards is Chase Bank. That's the Rockefellers. What the heck are you doing giving your money to the Rockefellers, lively? Right? That's what I say to myself. And then I don't have an answer for myself. That's true, right? Well, except they're getting the money off of the vendors, right?
Yeah.
Every time, if they can get you, because these guys are so slick, that if they can get you to do the purchasing and then they're taking a cut from the vendors,
right,
they're making money off you. Anyway, but this is where we're at. The idea of the natural world versus the virtual world has all kinds of tentacles to it. It's a very multifaceted issue, lots of different aspects to it. Most of the technology we're dealing with is benign, or at least it can be benign. It isn't necessarily malignant at the moment, right? But it can be. It can be flipped. It's like big tech. How many of us thought when they first came out with Yahoo and Juno and AOL and all those things, and we all got to be getting email accounts and all that, who would have thought that at the end of the process, big tech would be able to just simply manipulate the election by shutting off whole blocks of people based on their ideology and the extent to which they influence other people, right? Who would have thought that? And what can you do at that point, right? What can you do? There's not enough time between now and the election to create our own alternative platforms, right? And then once they get you, it's all gigantic bait and switch, right? They get you involved, right? It's like selling drugs to the grammar school kids. Hey, the first one's free, right? But then when they got you hooked on a pattern of behavior, then all of a sudden it's like corner the market, then raise the price. It's like that's the kind of sort of predatory philosophy of the people that are doing these things. And what can we do about it? Well, I'm not saying go off the grid. It's almost impossible to go off the grid. You hear stories about people trying to do it, in some parts of the country, they won't even let you off the grid, right? That's from the stories that I've seen. So you either have to do things without telling anybody that you're doing them and just sort of disappear off the grid, or you have to find some way to balance the two things. And I think that's what we're living on this farm. Chuck and Jane, same thing. Richard, same thing. We have similar lifestyles where we have a part of our lives are integrated with the virtual world, and a part of our lives are natural, and we have balance of those two things. And if everything shut down in the virtual world, we could survive a lot better than other people out there. But then you can't actually live your life without having some. Like, I remember when they first started switching over and requiring you to do things online. Remember that? It was like 10 years ago. Government agencies and things were starting to require that you did things online. Social Security, yeah. And eventually, it's all going to be that way. It's like the cashless society. You're not going to be able to pull money out of your pocket, make a purchase, and go on your way. You're only going to be able to do it by integration with the artificial system that's under the control of other people. So, anyway, that's the topic that's on my heart. And the scripture, what's really funny is I didn't know, as this is breaking news Bible study. We're always sort of tying in current events and themes, news themes, with the scripture, and I was setting up my desk here. I just popped open the Bible, and drop and flop, right? Our deacon was saying, right? And it flopped open to Job, chapter 39, and it's all about the natural world, right? God speaks of nature and its beings. Do you know from verse 1, do you know the time the mountain goats give birth? Do you observe the calving of the deer? Can you count the month they fulfill? Or do you know the time they give birth? They kneel down, they bring forth their young, they get rid of their labor pains. Their offspring become strong. They grow up in the open field, they leave and do not return to them. Who sent out the wild donkey free? And who loosed the bonds of the swift donkey, to whom I gave the wilderness for a home and the salt land for his dwelling place? He scorns the tumult of the city. The soundings of the driver he does not hear. He explores the mountains for his pasture and searches after every green thing. Right? That's freedom.
Yes, it sure is, Dr. Lively, and the clip goes on quite a bit. I encourage you to go to his website, scottlively.net, and listen to the rest of that podcast. As I say, we only heard about 10 minutes of it, but we're running out of time again on the non-live show, non-live portion, so I got to say good night. Remember, the next broadcast is on Blog Talk Radio on September 6th. 2020. So, again, God bless you all, and here's my ending song.